We're on Hey Ahmed Beys. What I want to start by doing is only just a couple lines because we left it before the two dots. And then we'll have some conversations about some of the sugyas we cover this week. Again, very easy stuff. If you're following the Chazara, this should be some of the easiest set of Gemaras you've ever had. So we were at the bottom there. So the Gemara said, Rav Idi Avua de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Have Rogil de Have Azil Tlosa Yarche Ba'orcha. So I'll read it again. Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Have Rogil de Have Azil Tlosa Yarche Ba'orcha. He used to set out on a 3-month course. Chad Yom Bei Rav, and then he would spend one day at the Bei Rav, at the yeshiva. He would go to the yeshiva for one day over there. Right, it took him 3 months to travel to the Beis Medrash. He would leave after Pesach and stay there for one day and then come back to get home before Sukkot. So he could have a Samachta B'chagecha with his family, Rashi says. V'avikari le'rabbona, the rabbis would mock him. They would call him Bar Bei Rav Dechad Yoma. They would call him a guy at the Beis Medrash of one day. A one-day yeshiva bachar. Chaylash date. He felt like, you know, weak over that. He schlepped so far just to be there in the Beis Medrash and they're mocking him. Right, so Kara Anafshe Schok Larei, he said, I became a laughing stock to the people. They made fun from me. So Amar Le Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, B'matusa minach. He said to Rav Idi, Matusa minach, I beg you, Lo tanishlu rabbanan. You feel insulted, don't take it out on the rabbis. You know, back then, when you were insulted, you could take out your broigus with a little one word and these rabbis would destroy each other. We saw two weeks ago, how one rabbi was able to cause Rishua Pikin, cause the eyes to fall out of the other person's face. So Nafik Rav Yochanan LeBay Midrash. Rav Yochanan went out to the Beis Medrash and gave the following talk. It says, Osi Yom Yom Yidrashun V'das Derachai Yechpatsun. They seek me every day and they want to know my ways. So on one hand, in the Havamina, it sounds like seeking God only takes place Yom Yom, during the day, right? V'chi Be'yom Dorshinoso. Now, is it only by day that they seek him? U'balayla ain't Dorshinoso, and at night they don't seek him? That can't be right. El lomer lecha, rather, kol ha'osek b'torah afilu b'yom achas b'shana. Rather, the emphasis on yom is an emphasis not on daylight versus nighttime, but on the power of a 24-hour interval. So meaning what? Kol ha'osek b'torah, even one day a year. Ma'ale alav akasav kiilu osek kol ha'shana. It's as though you learn the whole year. V'chein b'midas poranos, so too with respect to punishment, as it says, b'mispar yamim asher tartem et ha'aretz, like the number of days that you spied out the land. So they were punished for 40 years. They didn't spy for 40 years. V'chi arbaim shana chatu? Did they sin for 40 years? El alomer lecha, kol over avera afil yom echad b'shana, anyone who commits a transgression in one day in the year, ma le'alav akasav kilu over kol ha'shana kula, it's as though you sin the entire year. So this is where the BJE standard comes from, the Torah Mesorah, yom echad b'shana. When a Rebbe or a teacher is retiring, there's a concept the Torah Mesorah has of yom echad b'shana, yom echad l'shana, that for every year they were there, for every year they were, every day they were there. So Yom Echad L'Shana, yeah. Each one corresponds to how many years, right? The years that they were there is corresponding to the amount of time, severance or whatever it is that you get. Yom Echad Chodesh L'Shana is the exact phrase. Chodesh L'Shana. But that parallel comes from this Gemara. That parallel comes from this Gemara. Yeah. It's already pushed. Okay, back to Sheepus. Anyways, so that concept of paralleling days to years, so that comes from here. But again, the Meraglim sinned not 40 years. There were 40 days they were scouting. Yet the punishment was 40 years. So you see, the power of one day could be equivalent of a year. And we know Mida Tova Meruba Mida Ra. The Mida of good outweighs the Mida of bad. And therefore, that's also true. If that's true by the Meraglim, how much more so is it true if a person spends a good day learning Torah, how that can count for them like a whole year, refreshes them for a whole year if they do that type of thing.
So we're punishing everybody for what the Meraglim did?
Well, so that's the question. What was the collective punishment for the Meraglim? The people went along when they heard this. They didn't stop and say no. They started crying. So there was a collective punishment because there was an interest in what the Meraglim had to say when they had an out. They could have followed Kalev and Yeshua, and they didn't.
Baruch Machalam Shakal Yambar. Amen. Somebody followed Kalev because they didn't come out for it.
Right. We don't know who would follow them or not.
Still died yeah. In the desert, so they didn't.
Sounds like everyone just started crying right away when the Meraglim came back when they heard all this. So first of all, I want to talk about a couple of things. Number one, you raised the issue yesterday of, what's this Kabbalas Pnei Rabbo Beregel, visiting the Rebbe on Regel, going to Mekabel Pnei Rabbo? We see this concept over and over. The Gemara has been talking about in the Agaditas the last 2 days of greeting and going to see the Rebbe. So I was wondering, we were talking about yesterday, is that about learning something or is it about the act of Kavod? The Kaf HaChaim writes straight out. Kaf HaChaim says it's really about learning, going there to learn something. It's not stam just to show up and you have no clue what's going on and you stare and you walk out. The Pnei Yoshua in Rosh Hashanah 16b says that women are not obligated in the mitzvah because they don't have the same chiyuv in Talmud Torah. So that would indicate to me, that sounds like the Pnei Yoshua is saying also it's a din in learning. Right? It's a din in learning. Unless you understand it as a derivative of Talmud Torah, even though you don't need to literally, maybe being Mishamish the Talmud Chacham or whatever, that's also learning. And that would tie into the Gemara of Rav Tzadok under the bed, spying on what was going on to get an idea of different ways of learning from a Rebbe, not just content.
Why they go to a kever? They can't.
What? Yeah, by Rav Tzadok. Who are the two? Yeah.
Why
yeah.
They go to a kever then? They don't, they can't learn from that.
Yeah, that's a tefillah. That's a din in tefillah. So this obligation of visiting one's Rebbe on Yontif is brought in Gemara Rosh Hashanah 16b, Sukkah 27b. The Rambam Talmud Torah puts it in Talmud Torah, which I thought was interesting also. Rambam puts it in Hilchas Talmud Torah. It's not brought down in the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, and I think for that reason it hasn't become a din that people still are makbid on to this day. The Kaf HaChaim brings two different opinions on the Achronim, how it applies nowadays. So the No Dibi Yehuda holds that since we no longer have a base of Migdash, there's no obligation to visit one's teacher on Yontif. Because it's not correct to go visiting the Rebbe more than it would be the base of Migdash. He concludes it's a good practice, though, still to do so. So it's a good idea to do so, but the mitzvah's got, it's tied into the base of Migdash. It's interesting. The Chidah on his Sefer Simchas HaRegel on Sukkah says that the Chiyuv is specifically nowadays, as it was instituted Dafka as a commemoration of Aliyah LaRegel. That since you can't do Aliyah LaRegel, you should go up to visit the Rebbe. So according to the No Dibi Yehuda, there's no specific chiyuv, and if one wants to go, they could do so anytime during Yontif. According to the Chidah, it would seem that the chiyuv is like Aliyah LaRegel, and the main time to go is the first day, and he can make up for it the rest of Yontif, like the Rambam in Chagiga says of making up for Aliyah LaRegel. Okay, another idea. The Rambam, we saw yesterday the Gemara said that Hashem cries for three people every day. Yes.
I want to.
Listen, you have something called Loeg LaRosh. You're not supposed to do mitzvahs in front of the dead. We don't do mitzvahs. We don't sit there by a kever and set up a base medrash, set up a kolel. We don't do it. I know kever achel, they have it, but that's different by the avos and imaos, a different dinim entirely. But in general, we don't sit there learning. We don't open Gemara, do daf yomi bar Moshe's kever. We don't do mitzvahs there. That's a din in tefillah. Then mamash is a din in tefillah. Okay, so the Gemara says that Hashem cries for three people every day. We saw this yesterday. A person who's able to learn Torah but does not. A person who can't but does so anyways. And a community leader who is a bal gaiva over the members. So that really seemed unrelated to the entire sugya. That wasn't a gadata that was thrown in that we wondered how it got there. And also, how do we know the Chachamim know that Hashem cries for three people? What was the makor? Where did the Chachamim get it from? Where did this come from? And then we asked the question yesterday, why does Hashem cry for a person who can't learn Torah but does? So we gave two pshatim. One pshat yesterday was he has no business learning Torah. The guy's terrible at it. He makes a mess and he still spends his whole time on it. But we didn't like that as much as other pshatim, that it's somebody who, like we said, was blind. We said the Gemara, like the one who was blind and he couldn't and he pushed himself, but how much more so he could have learned if he was able to. That's why Hashem is crying. But either way, so the Gemara earlier quoted a pasuk. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says that Hashem cries three tears. And the Gemara says the first tier was for the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. The second tier was the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. And the third tier was the Jews in exile, going into exile, or we said Bittul Torah, which the two are one and the same. And the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu before it says, right, even if you don't hear it, B'mistarim tifka nafshi mipnei geva, we said, that my soul cries in private because of the pride of the Jewish people. That Hashem cries three tears because of the three points mentioned in that pasuk. So what does it mean, even if you don't hear it? Even if you don't hear it, refers to the tears he cries when he doesn't hear a person learn Torah, when he's able to learn, right? What's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu? So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "In lo tishma'u," even if you don't hear it, "b'mistarim tifka nafshi." What's "im lo tishma'u"? "Im lo tishma'u," I'd like to say, is referring to the one that does, when he does not hear a person learn Torah when he's able to. "Im lo tishma'u." You could have learned it able to, right? The second phrase says, "b'mistarim tifka nafshi," my soul cries in private. That refers to Hashem's tear for one who can't learn Torah, but learned anyway. He can't learn because of the persecution of the nations and their decrees against learning Torah. And as a because of it, he has to do it secretly, under the table, here, there. That's b'mistarim tifka nafshi. That, I think, corresponds to the second part of the pasuk. And then, or it means one who's unable to learn the Torah anyways, is rather referring to a person who speaks Lashon Hara. Where do we get that from? It's another pshat. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun, Pasuk Tes Zayin, says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he has no right to learn Hashem's Torah. He has no right to learn Hashem's Torah. Since he uses his mouth for the purpose of Lashon Hara, he's not entitled to use his mouth for learning Torah. So therefore, based on that, it could be b'mistarim tifka nafshi, means that Hashem cries to the person who sins in private by speaking Lashon Hara. Why is it private? It's called davar shebechashai. That's a Gemara in Yoma 44. Davar shebechashai. It's a sin in private. So Hashem cries because although a person has the ability to learn Torah, he's not, because he speaks Lashon Hara. So that's the other part of the pasuk. The third cry is for the leader who rules over his people. I think that's the end of the pasuk. It says mipnei geva. The end of the pasuk says mipnei geva because of the gaiva. So therefore, and these three sins were the cause for the three tragedies which Hashem shed tears. Destruction of the first of the base of Mikdash, destruction of the second base of Mikdash, and the gullus. The Gemara Bava Metzia 85a says the destruction of the first base of Mikdash was because of Bittul Torah. Right, Shalom Baruchu B'Torah Tchila, the Gemara says. That corresponds to those who were able to learn and didn't learn. The second base of Mikdash was Lashon Hara, Gemara 56a Gittin, Kamtza Bar Kamtza. At that time, many decrees were passed against Torah then. See the Gemara Bracha 61a. And subsequently, the Jews suffered exile after exile because of leaders who thought they knew everything, didn't want to listen to Yirmiyahu, didn't want to listen to this one. They thought they knew everything, and therefore they had to go into exile. So I want to suggest that's where the Gemara got its three tears of Hashem, were from the pasuk of Mistarim Tifka Nafshi, from those three ideas. A couple more ha'aris on this daf. You had this Gemara that we started with, or we ended last week with, where he asked to bring me Zil Isili Miriam Megadlas Ser Nasi. Go bring me Miriam who grows the hair of the women. And Nebuch, they brought the wrong Miriam. So Rav Yoshev writes in his Aris, Yesh kan harbed dvarim tamuim. Many strange things here. Chado, number one. Heichi yidte ben Miriam la Miriam. How could you make a mistake between one Miriam to another Miriam? This is like a Malach HaMavis. This is not someone, a bureaucrat making a mistake on some file. And ki nos de lo koach gam lichyot shari shal iadra. Furthermore, he has the power to cause to live because he asked, should I put her back? Vod ki, so how does that work? He has the power to bring life. Like, what's his job? So Rav Yoshev writes, vaday meimra zuhi misisrei Torah. Vaday, this meimra is from the hidden stuff in the Torah. You're not going to get further here. Okay. So.
What exactly happened with that Miriam?
What?
Miriam?
Yeah, they brought the wrong Miriam. Remember, they brought the wrong Miriam over there. The Sheitelmacher Miriam. So now, another interpretation over here, this whole thing. Rabbeinu Chananel writes in Chagiga, Heyam and Aleph, Yesh Misha Omer, Ke'inyan chalom ra'advarim elu. That this whole thing was just a dream state. V'lo od, ela Rav Bibi ben Abaye have mesasek b're'iyas ha'shedim. We know Rav Bibi ben Abaye from Brachos used to always involve himself with re'iyas shedim. And therefore, you could say that's what he saw from one of his visions, but it doesn't mean that it was accurate, says Rabbeinu Chananel. Interesting shot over here. So the Sefer Magidim Chadashim says, Makor Divrei Rabbeinu Chananel, where Rabbeinu Chananel get his idea that this Gemara was just a dream and you don't have to be somach on it? That's pretty bold to say that about a Gemara. So Nirishahu Mechuvas HaGaonim, he got it from Mechuvas Gaonim, Shenishal Al Davar Uv Dezudur, who asked about this case, and over there it says, Da, Ki Amisas Advarim Halu, Musutarim V'Adam, the truth here was hidden, entirely hidden. And Rabbi Bar Abaye, who said this Maisa was a Yachid, and Chas V'Shalom that he was lying, rather Shalomod Hayamamik Misasik L'Davar Malachim V'Shokid, he was very busy with angels and Shadim all the time, and therefore he basically spoke another language that you and I can't relate to and don't understand what's going on. We had this idea that she hurt her mazel. Remember, she dropped the thing on her foot and hurt her mazel. So the Sefer Magidim
did something dangerous.
Yeah, Sefer Magidim says you have this all over. Isra Mazli Matsinu Bahar B'Makomos. You have it many places. Perhaps you could explain it based on the Gemara Shabbos 53b, where it says Adam the Isle Mazla Messiahle. A human has mazel, so there it affects him. Behema has no such thing; it doesn't affect him. Meaning Rashi says Mazli is your malach. You could impact your malach in a certain way. That's why the Rashi and Bracha says the reason why an Avel needs Shimor. Why does an Avel need a Shomer? You don't leave an Avel by themselves. Dahora Mazlo, because he's in a weakened Mazel state at that time. And therefore you have such an Inyan, So too in Shulchan Aruch or Achayim be'inyan Liros Hatzel, Belel Hoshana Rabbah. In terms of seeing the shades or shadows on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, there's a certain chalishas hamazel. I don't know what that's about. However, what you see from here is that each person has a malach that's magin and shomer alav, that guards them. And that's what we call their mazel. And sometimes you could injure your mazel. You could injure the malach that's over there in some way, whatever that means exactly. Yeah, God guards the foolish. Ramosha uses that to talk about smokers. He knows everyone's smoking. What could he do? Ashomer Pesayim Hashem. God guards the foolish. Ravaji Yosef thought it was already daraisa to smoke. That was already daraisa to smoke. Anything which people imbibe. There's too many things which aren't healthy. Okay, what else do we have here? I mean, there's so many different little agaritas which are so fascinating that you can analyze and have what to say. We talked about the Tzur B'Derabanan. Yeah.
You apply that concept that someone puts himself in danger, Hashem could shorten his life. Could you apply that to other things? Like if somebody takes chances in business or doesn't act in a responsible way.
Yeah, you have that always. When a person does not act, Brachos also, Hashem only takes care of someone who's not in ignoramus with themselves. You have to Chachamein of Barosho. You have here more. You have behester ponim, mar behester ponim. You've never had hester ponim. Tamu hadavar shekanubo. Why were they jealous of him? Like, why were they angry that the Rebbe never had hester ponim in his life? Right? We learned that they were upset that Rabbi never had hester ponim. Right? So kevin de la Rava loyal elu tsaros muchach mizir kablim tfilas v'chein amr lo v'chein nasta by name l'tsaro shibgam ba'aracherim. What they wanted of him was that he wouldn't be able to daven for others unless he was in the same tsar with them. That's what they wanted. It's an interesting pshat. You hear that? That's in the Shari Mitzuyonim Bahalacha. That since he was not in their pain, they were afraid he would never be able to daven for them. You can't daven. It's hard to daven for someone if you haven't gone through it yourself. Right? And therefore, they wanted him to experience it also. That's what they were upset about, says the Shari Mitzuyonim Bahalacha. We say Kol Makom Evchamim placed their eyes was either O'oni or Misa, poverty or death, we said. Why these two? Says the Sefer Benayo Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada says the following. Because in the Torah it says, Orech Yamin Bimina Bismola Osher V'Chavod. And therefore the Koach for its learners are able to punish with death, which is the Koach of the Yamin, and Oni, poverty, which is the Koach of the Smol. So that's what it means, that the rabbis, any place the Chachamim put their eyes, they can cause Oni or they can cause Misa. Ramban writes in his Igeres HaKodesh, in his holy letter, Shechachamim mitveikim machshavosam be'elyonim. They could cleave their thoughts to the upper realms. Umamela machshavosa miskaimim. And therefore, they're able to cause an effect. Why is a Rebbe able to change things? Because they're able to have a certain kavana that goes up to where the machines are. And therefore, they're able to change things down here. Down here. There's a lot to say in this. Chazanish on here. There's so much. Three HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries on for each day. Let's just finish with that. We'll go back, come back around full circle. Chol Yom Al She'ef Shalasek. Woman could have learned Torah and doesn't. The Nefesh HaChaim has a beautiful teaching on this in Shar Dalet. He says, Im chas v'sholom anachnu oskim v'torah b'rifayon. If we learn Torah loosely, we just sit back, listen to a shir. We don't do anything active for Torah. Kivyachol mitmas shefa or elyon. We cause a limit of the shefa of the or elyon. Meaning that you're able to efshar lasok b'torah. You're able to engross yourself in Torah and you don't. You're passive participant. You do no work for Torah itself. That's what it means. The Sefer Ben Yoyada says, "Ein lo leiv maven latar." Someone who's can't learn Torah and they do, he says the pshat that we said before, that a person doesn't have a heart to understand any answers, and he's learning be'ion alone, like a moron. Yeah, right. The first one is you need melim b'Torah. Okay, we'll stop there for today.